for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, returning with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. A slightly different angle with that look this week due to timings and availability too. No non-league paper roundup, which will be back with us next week, but plenty of news and views nonetheless. In a week that Torquay United went 4 points clear at the top of the National League and Sutton United suffered a late midweek defeat at Notts County, we also finally saw non-league finals day 2020 take place at Wembley, albeit behind closed doors. We were there and were lucky enough to see a fantastic FA Vars final between the Northern League powerhouses of Consett FC and Hebburn Town. In a thrilling game that to'd and fro'd, Hebburn came from behind twice before substitute Ollie Martin scored them a winner in the 84th minute. A bitter blow for Consett boss Terry Mitchell and his lads, who post-match I suggested to him had played their part in putting on a great showcase for non-league.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I said before the game, we should get a cracking game. Two good sides. You've seen how we play football. You know what I mean? We scored a couple of cracking goals. They've scored goals. They're a good, strong side. I said that you'd get a good game. Finding, like you said, non-league fan watching it, I'm sure they've enjoyed the game.
They'll be rightly proud of that in years to come. But at the moment in time, following that final whistle, what has he said to them as words of comfort in the dressing room?
I've told them, we said it on the pitch because I haven't been back in the dressing room yet, unfortunately. But I said it on the pitch. I'm proud of every one of them. We made history for Consett, the town, 104 years, you know what I mean? They've never, ever been at this competition. So we made history. So I says, we've got to be proud, enjoy your weekend, obviously staying down. And I said that, we've got to embrace it. We'll be disappointed, obviously, as any loser, absolutely gutted. But we've got to enjoy it. We got here to the final, so that's a massive achievement.
And moving on, off the field, much work has been going on off the field at Consett too. So what can the fans look forward to in the coming months when football returns to normal?
Well, they look forward to seeing a good football side. That's where we play. The fans, devastated they weren't there. They know how we play. Come and watch non-league, come and watch Consett. They'll enjoy their football. We'll play attacking football and they'll see lots of goals and lots of excitement, isn't it? You know, that's the one good thing about watching us.
It was a windy Wembley Stadium post-match and winning manager Kevin Bolam understandably was ecstatic as I put my first question to him.
And I know my colleague on the non-league football show, Dave Anderson, who was the last manager to lift the FA Vars, would want to send his best wishes to you. But when you think about it now, FA Vars winning manager, what does that mean?
Obviously, personally, it means a lot. I think I use the term. It's what dreams are made of. But as the run developed, and obviously it started best part of 18 months ago. And I think back to the trips that where we've gone to watch the opposition, and we've done our homework on the opposition. And I'd like to think all that work that's been done on and off the pitch is bared fruit today for us to lift it. It's been an absolutely fantastic weekend from start to finish, from leaving Hebburn to coming down here. But I just, you know, I want to reiterate the point that this is about the players today, but we've delivered something for the town of Hebburn. I'm very proud to be the manager of the club, and I've enjoyed every single minute of it, and it'll probably not sink in over until the next couple of weeks. When people said, you know, you're a Vars winner, there's a couple of the players mentioned it out was on the pitch there when I went out and celebrated, and probably still hasn't sunk in yet.
And it was a game that did Hebburn Town and did non-league proud, not only for the quality of the action, but also the levels of fitness shown by two part-time sides at the end of a very troubled couple of seasons.
Again, both sides are quite professional in their preparation. I know what we do behind the scenes with regards to preparing for games, and I know Terry's standards will be exactly the same. So to be fair, it wasn't a surprise when it come to the levels of fitness and what have you, because obviously Wembley does funny things to you, and the occasion's got to be played the right way. It's nice to win the Vars. It really is. It's a bonus that we've done it. And both teams have provided a very, very good game of football. Consett are a fantastic side. We knew it was going to be tough. We knew that that they would cause us problems. But as I've reiterated a few times today, that the character and resilience our group of players has shown over the past good few months now has been absolutely fantastic.
So commiserations to all at Concert and congratulations to Hebburn Town, who, as we hear later on in this show, are back up at it, defending their title this weekend in this season's competition's quarter final. So if the FA Vase was a classic for entertainment, the FA Trophy, as so often happens, was more one for getting the job done. Harrogate Town returned to non-league to pick up their second piece of Wembley success in the space of a year, but only by the slimmest of margins, and not before Step 2's Concord Rangers had given them a scare. Harrogate Town captain Josh Falkenham fittingly scored the only goal of the game, but it was goalkeeper Chris Hay who rightly picked up the Man of the Match award in the Concord jersey after a series of impressive saves. Post-match, I asked a disappointed Concord manager Danny Scopes to reflect on the fact that even featuring in a Wembley final wasn't a realistic prospect when he first joined the club back in the Essex Senior League days, not so many years ago.
Probably not. I don't think anyone would have probably dreamed about it. Even up to recently, probably wouldn't have dreamed that Concord Rangers would be playing in a National League final. But we did it, and it proves that anything is possible at times.
And now, what happens next? Is it that the... You send the lads off for a holiday, you sit down and have a think about what's happened in a mad year for everybody, but an even madder year for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a good end to what's been a difficult year, I think, as a manager with COVID situation and the season stopping and starting all the time. So it's been really frustrating. Obviously, no supporters into football is really disappointing. So hopefully we can come back next year with fans and an almost normal season, hopefully. I think that's the best thing we're looking forward to. I'll be disappointed, I'll be gutted, but I'll be super proud today. And by tomorrow, I'll be thinking about planning for next year and more success.
And for winning manager Simon Weaver, it was a great bow out from non-league football by Harrogate Town, with a display perhaps more non-league, full of grit and determination, than football league.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had to show that over the years in order to get where we are now. And it wasn't probably one for the purists today, but you have to give credit to Concord. They made it really hard work for us. They were very well organised and set up to frustrate us and to break quickly, which was working out well for them. But no, it was quite fitting, I thought, that we finished the game with 11 players that were with us in the trophy run back in 2019. So that's what we've been about, keeping the group together.
And what about that second win at Wembley in front of his father and chairman at the club, Irving Weaver?
It's a great feeling to... He'll go some way towards, you know, hopefully repaying a bit of faith. You know, he's always put in me, and he's been at the club a decade now. So there's no better way, really, than to be playing at Wembley and bringing some silverware back to Harrogate.
It was a great occasion for all those involved, although it of course, lacked the magic of having fans and friends and family there too. Hopefully, Non-League Finals Day 2021 in a couple of weeks' time will have that luxury and can wow us further. And we'll hear from more of those hoping to be there shortly. So let's move on to this year's FA Vase competition and this weekend's games. A quarter final, this one, so just two wins away from a day out at Wembley with a carrot that they should be in front of some fans too. It's a pleasure to welcome to the Non-League Football Show manager at Warrington Rylands 1906, it's Dave McNabb.
Hey, Timmy, okay?
Good to have you on, mate. I suppose I have to start. Did you watch last year's final this week and Hebburn's victory?
I did, yeah. We watched the game, a few of the coaching staff and whatever watched the game, a few of the players watched it as well. So I think obviously a lot of intrigue, a lot of excitement as we build up to Saturday, but probably a little bit of jealousy as well, watching obviously Hebburn and Concert get to play at Wembley. I think it's a fantastic experience for them, first and foremost, but obviously congratulations to Hebburn. I think the edge of the game overall and deserve to win.
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit like someone coming round and showing you their photo album from their holiday, isn't it? You know it's a great day out, you just want to get there.
Yeah, it is, I think. Well, look, I think you've got to win the race, and that's obviously the most important thing. I think, you know, we'd all love a day out at Wembley and love to play in that pitch and in that stadium. But you've got to earn it, and I think Hebburn definitely deserved to be playing there, obviously based on the performances last year and how well they've done this year as well. Hopefully, we can put in the same level of performances to get there this year.
Yeah, in a way, I guess you're blessed that that you've got up-to-date footage to analyse in a time when scouting reports are almost impossible.
Yeah, so, I mean, traditionally, we do like to watch teams. We like to go up and watch them in person where we can. Obviously, it is a little bit more difficult sometimes, the VAR, just from a geographical point of view. But I think we've been quite fortunate, and I'm sure Hebburn will feel the same, in the, you know, in the digital age now where people are streaming things to try and provide some kind of insight and some kind of visibility to the fan base, that there is quite a lot of footage online, both of ourselves and of Hebburn. Not always as easy to watch, obviously, depending on the camera angle. You know, you've got volunteers with cameras, so we were a little bit fortunate, obviously, to have the professional view on Monday. But, yeah, I'm comfortable. I'm confident that both teams will know quite a lot about each other. I don't think there'll be many surprises when you get to sort of the quarterfinal of the VARs.
Yeah, and obviously you'll be hoping for one of those after the Lord Mayor show, but performances from them. You won't want to give them too much respect, but as a football man, you're trying to emulate what they did on Monday. You almost have to forget what they've done to go out and do that.
Yeah, it comes down to that they are the current holders of the competition. Obviously, normally when you face the current holders of the competition, it's not 4 or 5 days after they've actually won it. So it is a little bit strange, a little bit different, but obviously, like I said, they absolutely deserve to be there based on the performances last year. You know, they started this season very well before it was curtailed, similar to ourselves. Obviously, they played a few more games than us. But, you know, we're playing at probably the best side in the country at our level. So the lads need to be up for it. We know that we need to play a perfect game, and that's what we'll be going out to do.
Yeah, and then the Northern League does have a bit of a record in this competition, but so have you in this competition against clubs from that division this season.
Yeah, I think we haven't played many games this season, considering it's May, and it's felt like every other one's been a coach journey to the North East. So obviously it's good to welcome one of them to our ground. I think West Auckland obviously came, again, a little bit strange circumstances the week before last. But yeah, look, I love playing teams from the North East. I think obviously there's a lot of similarities in the way that teams play from like Liverpool, Manchester area, as well as up in Newcastle ways. So I think there's a lot of similarities in terms of the way and the commitment and the passion that both sets of players and clubs show. So it's always a good game. You know, you're always in for a fight and a bit of a war. So it all adds to the occasion.
Yeah, you mentioned the strange circumstances against West Auckland, because obviously you found out, well, a very last-minute change, really, that East Ferriby had expelled from the competition. Did that change your preparations in any way? Had you already sort of got on board with the scouting for North Ferriby?
Yeah, so we'd obviously started to pick up some bits and pieces on the Sunday straight after the game with Shildon. We'd started to do some preparation Monday, start writing some reports and some details out. We actually trained on Tuesday with the mindset that we thought it may change, but we weren't too sure. So we sort of did a bit more of a generic session, still with a little bit of North Ferriby in mind. And then obviously it was confirmed on Wednesday that they will be sort of kicked out of the competition and West Auckland will be back in. So we had to shift our focus pretty quickly, sort of Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, obviously trained Thursday, and then you sort of prepared the rest of the details for the players on Friday.
I suppose it's fairly par for the course in the current season or seasons that we've had. Yeah, you're sat here, right? We've got video link between the two of us. You look as calm as anyone I know. But, I mean, how's the blood pressure? 5 wins in this competition so far this season. I think 3 of them have gone to penalties.
Yeah, I think it's tough. I think I've got confidence in the players to handle the occasion and to handle, you know, sort of any team that we play. I always think that we'll give them a game. I'm not saying we're better or any worse than anybody else, but I always feel confident that the players will go out and work the socks off and give teams games. I think generally we try and maintain that element of being calm from the sidelines and in the lead up to games, just to make sure that we can try and get that information across to the players. And obviously I think sometimes if you're shouting a ball from the sidelines, sometimes you can't help it. But if you are shouting a ball from the sidelines, I think sometimes that does filter onto the players, and It can impact the performances. So I think it's not something that I find easy to do at all times, but it's something we try and do as a coaching team, just try and stay nice and calm and relaxed and make sure that the players are getting the right information rather than just, you know, swear words and shouting and screaming.
And we always talk about the buzz of a cup run and what that brings. But when these games are coming thick and fast, you know, week in, week out, how's that been this season?
I mean, it's been good because it's been very stop-start. So, I mean, obviously since the restart sort of a couple of weeks back, it's been really full on. I mean, it's taken up a lot of time, family time and weekends and, you know, nights and whatever through the week. We've tried to make sure the lads were in the best position possible from a physical fitness point of view, making sure we did, you know, one-to-one sessions with them when we were still sort of in semi-lockdown, and obviously trying to get as many group sessions as we could. We were obviously disappointed not to play last Saturday, not because we wanted to take advantage of the situation with Hebburn or anything like that. It was more around the fact that we felt like we were on a roll. It was almost you had your set plan, you got a day to enjoy it, you had a day to start planning, a day for training and so on. So we felt we were in a bit of a roll, but I think we've enjoyed the last week, obviously not having that pressure of playing on the Saturday. Enjoyed watching the Hebburn concert game on Monday. And we've had a little bit more time to prepare and work on a few of the things that we could have done better against Shield and West Auckland, and some things that we need to probably work on in hindsight of obviously playing Hebburn.
Yeah, and during lockdown, it's ironic now, isn't it, that the world's now sort of moving back from lockdown. You're probably getting more pressures from players not being available or not being able to make full training sessions because they've got commitments elsewhere as well.
Yeah, I think that it sort of comes twofold. You've obviously got the pressures where people haven't been able to work. You know, they've either been on furlough or they've got made redundant or whatever else. So now at the point where any time someone throws, you know, a job forward for them, they need to sort of make that some of that money back up that they've lost, pay the bills. So you've obviously got to be a little bit conscious and a little bit sort of courteous to the players who've got different needs than they would do normally in any normal given circumstances. And I think you've also got the other one where you've got wives and girlfriends who've used to spending a bit more time with them than they've ever been in the past. So then they get nagged a little bit more, I think, to make sure they're home and not be at training at sort of 2-3 nights a week.
Yeah, I've seen a fair few furrowed brows at various training sessions in recent weeks. Even away from the VARs, the club's on its way up, isn't it? I mean, you came in what, 2018, promotion in that first season from the first division in the Northwest Counties. 1920, well, we'll talk about the season. It was fair to say you were on target for promotion, I would have thought, looking at how you were going. And then that was null and voided. And then this term, only a few league games, but unbeaten. So you're sort of, you're there or thereabouts. But it's fair to say, since you've come in, you've had an impact on the club.
Yeah, I think obviously it took over as manager of the club alongside Stu at the time in really good circumstances in that obviously the club had just been promoted into Northwest Counties. I know there's no point beating around the bush. It was largely down to the fact of the restructure and the facilities that the club were putting in place and the plans. I think the ambitions of the club are really good and they match the ambitions of myself. I want to try and test myself at the best possible level. You know, and it has been tough a couple of years. I know, like you said, we have done well and we have been looked to be on course for finishing in that sort of top three the last two seasons, or last season and a bit. But we want to try and push on. We want to try and progress. We want to be playing against the best teams and the best and the biggest clubs possible and really test ourselves against, you know, those better players and what have you. So, I think it's really good that the club's got massive ambitions. I share them and so do the coaching staff and the players.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that an ambitious club has backed you as well with the contract extension at the turn of the year.
Yeah, so I think that was really important to the club. It was the club that approached the situation with myself. I hadn't even really given it much thought, to be honest, at the time. Obviously, it's a massive... It fills you full of confidence. It's a big thing to be offered a contract from a club with, you know, as big as this and with the history and obviously the ambitions that it's got now. The club's looking to obviously expand and, you know, put new stands and new changing rooms, new facilities, and as part of the longer term plan. And we felt that having a bit of stability in terms of the management, coaching staff and players would allow us to continue to push through and keep trying to challenge and achieve our goals on the pitch whilst the facilities were being improved off the pitch.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, the club's taken on the Warrington Rylands 1906 title this year. Previously, Rylands, 1906 being the formation year when it was a work side, really, wasn't it, for the like local steel workers and things like that. So it's got a long history, but I like the change in name because it tells everybody in football what you're about.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a no-brainer in terms of the name change. Obviously, Rylands has been around for an awful long time. Obviously, local people know what Rylands is and where it is, but as part of the ambitions of the club in terms of stepping up and playing in the North West Counties, playing in the Northern Premier League, a lot of teams won't have heard of us. You know, when you come out to the immediate area of the North West, Liverpool, sort of Manchester-type areas, a lot of teams won't have heard of us. So I think the name change gives us a little bit of clarity. It reaffirms that, you know, we were one of the original clubs built in Warrington. It was a works-based team. It was started up in 1906. So there's well over 100 years worth of history there. And that's something for us to be proud of, but also something for us to try and build on and try and leave a legacy for the next 100 years.
Yeah, and you touched on there that the owner, obviously Paul Stretford, known as a football agent, and has worked with Triple S and somebody I've come across over the years as well. He's got a long affiliation with the club as well, and you mentioned the big ambitions for the club. How far can the club go?
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think it'll be interesting. Obviously, it starts to get really serious in your Northern Premier League level. You've got some huge clubs in the league that we would potentially go in if the sort of promotion or upward movement goes ahead. So, look, I think sky's the limit, depending on where Paul and the other people at the club, you know, obviously the committee's really important and the other financial backers. And I think it's, if they want it to go all the way to the Football League, then I don't see any reason why it can't. Obviously, there's an awful lot of obstacles and an awful lot of good teams to try and get through before then. And you know, we're not trying to say that we've got any given right to make it that far. You know, we're gonna be going in next year with a view of trying to maintain that league standing. If we do go up, so we're not going to be going away trying to. We're not a Salford. We're not a Fleetwood. We're not going to be blowing things out of the water and walking through league by any stretch. You know, we know how challenging it's going to be sort of next year. So, just something we're looking forward to.
Yeah, and so as a manager, it's great to have that backing from the committee, from the club, a club that's going somewhere. And, you know, as you mentioned, hopefully you'll be in the Northern Premier League next year with the restructure going ahead. But I also seen you publicly acknowledge the help of old friends of this show, guys like Michael Clegg, now at Aston United, Jamie Vermiglio at Chorley, after you beat Shildon. And for fans that don't know, that personal network of trusted managers at the same level, either higher or lower, that's so important for a young manager like yourself trying to develop, isn't it?
Yeah, massively. I mean, we certainly wouldn't be in a quarterfinal of ours or looking at promotion from the North West Counties Premier League if we wouldn't have had any sort of help and support along the way from other managers. The likes of Michael Clegg and Jamie Vermiglio, they've been sort of really, really good to us. You know, these are guys who can play lip service to helping us, you know, and have a conversation and give a bit of advice here and there, but they don't. They go out of the way. They really go out of the way to help and support. You know, they go and find information on teams or on players for us. They'll give us advice. You know, they'll occasionally say, you know, we've got a lad here who's 18, 19. You might want to have a look at him. So, look, I think it's massively important to build a network. And, you know, we've got a really strong network with the managers. We sort of work with quite closely. You know, I've been speaking to Dan Moore an awful lot from Shildon over the last few weeks. You know, he's a really good lad. I just think, generally speaking, there's a lot of managers and a lot of coaches in the game who've all got the same ambitions, they've all got the same goals. And obviously, for 90 minutes, you know, you're not friends and, you know, you are against each other. But I think coming away from that sort of game environment, I think it's massively important that you can network and get to know people because it is much bigger than just that 90-minute game.
Yeah, and I think that's where the FA VARs works wonders in the non-league game, creating those relationships. So, Moving to Saturday then, any particular special match day routine that you'll go through that has served you well so far this season?
No, I don't think so. I'm not really the type who's massively superstitious. I think we certainly won't put my socks on in the same order or anything like that. We do like to try and prepare, and we make try to make sure we're there early. You know, we just want to try and make sure we run over things, make sure things are right and ready. And obviously, got an awful lot of support from the committee, from the chairman, the secretary, and then obviously from the coaching staff to make sure that the environment that we're in is productive for the players. And ultimately, what I want the players to do is have nothing else to think about other than that game when they turn up on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, hopefully it's going to be a fantastic Saturday afternoon for you. We wish you well, and thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Cheers. Thanks, Tim.
So let's move on to the semi-finals of this year's FA Vars competition. Two guests this time as we move into the realm of joint managers once again. It's a pleasure to welcome to the Non-League Football Show joint managers at Binfield FC, Carl Withers and Jamie McClurg.
Hello.
How are you?
Chaps, one win away from Wembley, every schoolboy's dream. Have you ever been there for anything more than a disciplinary or maybe as a fan?
Withers, I'll let you go, mate.
Obviously, I've been there plenty of times as a fan. I travel, watch England home and away. So, you know, for me, Wembley is well known to me from a fan perspective, but certainly not as a player. I don't think I was ever that good, really, to sort of reach them dizzy heights. Jamie?
No, I've drove past it a few times.
you're lying now. No, everybody that's ever been to Wembley knows you can't drive past it because you're still sat in the traffic 2 hours
there
later.
There you go. No, I've watched it on the telly. That's about it. But yeah, nothing. Been up there like Withers has. I know he goes and watches England. But no, I don't get that time having kids.
so it's there at the back of your mind. But first off, you've got this big game on Saturday. Now, on paper, I guess you look favourites because you're against the only Step 6 side left in the competition. But we've spoken to the United Services Portsmouth boss, Glenn Turnbull, this season. And I know, because it's fairly local to me, he's getting more local coverage than the Cowley brothers are as managers at Portsmouth. So it's not a gimme, but it's a one-off game. I guess it's almost like going back to school and doing exams.
Congress.
It's, you know, like whilst you say, you know, we're not looking past them. You know, we've looked at their previous game against Blackwell, and they're a very good side. You know, any team that's beaten Step 5 clubs, not just once, but 6 times, I'm led to believe, you know, clearly you cannot disregard any such team like that. You know, but we've said it in numerous interviews, you know, we focus on our lads and we believe we've got a great group of lads that give us everything every week. And, you know, we believe that, you know, hopefully we can do something special this year. And whilst we'll go there next on Saturday and we'll respect them, you know, we're going there sort of, you know, confident. We're on the back of a very good win on Saturday, which was a tough, tough game. If you was there watching it, you wouldn't have said it was a 5-0 game. I think goals came at crucial times in the game. But that game's gone now. You know, the focus is this week, focusing on what the job in hand. And it's going to be a tough, tough game. Tough game.
And that last weekend, that game, that last round, I mean, you certainly made a statement, a 5-0 away win at Long Eaton United. I guess, though, even with that sort of scoreline, you're still waiting for that final whistle to go just to get that one out of the way and finish.
Yeah, I think as Carl said, once we'd scored, like once up to 4-0 and you're thinking, oh, it's actually, it feels real. When you're playing the game, you don't feel anything. You just feel like the adrenaline and the passion flowing through you. But no, I think we played the game as perfectly as we can. And yeah, when we come off the pitch, I think we just kind of looked at each other and said, that couldn't have gone any better. But as Carl said, it certainly weren't a 5-0. People will look at it who haven't watched the game or wasn't there and thought that we'd cruise through that. But we didn't at all. I think we just scored goals at the right time. And our lads, as they do every week, no matter what game or what training session we put on, they gave everything. And it was a perfect match in the end for us.
Yeah. So, yeah. You've had a great run, though, this season in the competition. A win at Hadley 2 in one of those And in fact, all away games as well. I suppose if there was ever a season to get to Wembley in a competition where the fans couldn't actually come to watch you anyway, this is probably the one where the I guess away games are probably more a logistical nightmare than the pressure from the home fans there.
Yeah, as I was saying, you know, I think if you speak to our chairman or our secretary, I think it's been a logistic nightmare trying to sort of book coaches and so forth. But, you know, for me and Jamie, I'm sure I've actually enjoyed the away games. I've felt it's brought the side closer together as a group. It kind of feels when you're going away from home, that underdog status, which I actually like as a team. I think we thrived on it. And I think that's kind of put us in good stead and, you know, possibly why we are where we are. You know, obviously it's benefited us with no fans in the ground, because obviously, you know, I would imagine most of these games would have had sort of a fair few hundred there. So it's probably evened it up. Just, you know, we just had to probably have 3-4 hour journeys behind us. But, you know, it hasn't bothered us. I don't think it's affected us. I think some of the games maybe we started a little bit slow to come out of the blocks, but that's natural and that's normal. But yeah, I've not had a problem with it. You know, I've actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, we always talk about the guys that get to the VARS final. They've always got a story behind them. You've done the penalty things too, as well to get here. You know, ability, squad, how everybody gets on. They're all essential in this competition. But you need a smidgen of luck too. And if you get that, then you've got to think that things are going to go your way, and you've had an element of that, I guess, to be able to get through on penalties as well.
Yeah, I think that's with any football game, you need a little bit of luck. You need a bit of luck on your side. There's always something that you're looking at when it comes to penalties. So we always back our lads, like Chris Grace, the goalkeeper, is just an exceptional shot stopper from a penalty spot, and all the lads are experienced and focused enough to, we trust all of them. I'll pick any five out of the 18 lads that we've got there to step up and take one. But yeah, it's, you've got to have that little bit of luck. But yeah, the belief's there in all the lads, and I think they've earned that. They've done that, not just over this VARS run, but over the whole time we've had them together as a team, as a squad.
Yeah, and with that story, it's something that I think Dave Anderson has referred to it almost like the X factor factor that sort of when you get to the final, there's something to tell. And I guess whatever happens for the two of you, that you've got a story behind you, that this club's important to you. You know, if you can get it to Wembley, it's a fantastic story. But particularly for you, Carl. Is there extra pressure with this being your club, or is it just extra drive for you to make it a success?
I mean, yeah, look, obviously it's no secret. I've played at the club for many years, and you know, I've played a lot of games for them, and I know everybody at the club, and for me, you know, it would be a great achievement for the club, but from a personal level, you know, that this club has served the village, and it's such a well thought of club. They've always done it in the right way, and that, you know, they look after. When I was a player, you know, they always try and give the players or the management everything they can possibly need to be successful. And we've come close now on a few times, not necessarily in the VARS. We've had small runs in the VARS, but in league runs. But you know, yeah, I would say, you know, it'd be a very proud achievement to sort of lead this team out at Wembley if we're successful on Saturday. And you know, at the end of the day, whilst the job's not done yet, you know, everybody at the club deserves success. You know, there's a lot of people at the club that volunteer, you know, Bob Bacon, Rob Chalice, Bobby Ellis, Mickey Baldry. I mean, the list is so, so long, I could go on all day. So, you know, whilst it is a great achievement for myself, you know, for me, it would, you know, mean an awful lot for them guys. And that's what we'll be gunning for on Saturday when we go away to Portsmouth. You know, but, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
It is the biggest game in the club's history. But if you do win and you get to Wembley, hopefully fans and everybody involved in the club can get there to watch it as well. Does that make it an even bigger carrot as well? Because it could be, you know, potentially, I suppose, it could be your first game in front of fans.
Yeah, well, that would be strange to go and play your first game in front of all your friends and family at Wembley.
it would be crazy. I mean, we look back to the first game as well. We went to Deal and we're getting changed on a coach. Went to the next game. We obviously had to have a 12:30 kickoff away to Beckenham, which was a very strange moment as well, thinking you've got to leave your house at 6:30. But no, it'll be lovely for everyone, obviously. We're obviously not looking at Wembley at all. We're looking at US Portsmouth, and we know that they're a good side and they have a good following there. I mean, they're going to have everything that we're probably saying about our lads, but we just enjoy every game, every moment. It's been a strange 2 years. It's been waiting whether we're going to go back to football, not back to football. And yeah, now we're just enjoying every moment of it.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It is almost 2 years to get to this point. Although this is this year's competition, it probably feels like it's just a continuation of those other seasons that have been curtailed, null and voided, whatever they want to call it. And that's, again, where the great stories come from. You know, normally, clubs like you would lose your players to either higher up clubs, maybe coming in and taking some of the younger players, or even younger players moving off to university as they move up and progress in their own lives. And I know your own Josh Valentin is effectively commuting, isn't he, from Nottingham to combine his studies online and whatever, just to continue playing for you. It's just a weird world we're in.
Yeah, it done us a bit of a favour, actually, the COVID with Joel, because he wanted to study from home, so he was right around the corner from his local club. So it was quite funny to say that to him. Are you studying today? He's like, yeah, I'm at home. I was like, I'll spot on, you'll be at training then. But no, he's a lovely lad. They're all great lads. It's been a strange journey, but it's been like the best time of our like management career. Obviously, we've only been doing it 2 seasons, so it was just funny how it all fell into place last year. We went out to Deal. Obviously, this year we come back to play Deal after time off, and another great club with good people that help out like all their staff and players and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's been nice. The journey's been really good and enjoyable, to say the least, especially with such a special group of players. They really truly are a credit to us and at that club.
And that's, again, another thing that always comes through from successful clubs in the FA Vars is the unit that you take with you, both on the field and off the field, as you mentioned, and you know the kit man and the physio. Everybody's a part of that team, and I know you've got a few lads in the squad that have played higher as well. You know, guys that I know like Elliot Legley and Ferdinand, and some lad called McClurg that's still running around in midfield somewhere, isn't he?
Trying.
but I mean, how does that work as a gaffer when you're in the field? Is that where you just leave that to Carl then, and that's where the joint manager bit comes in?
Yeah, I mean, that's another big reason we brought in Jeff Warner and obviously Roger, who's so infamous at Binfield, and Carl's worked with. And I started my football career, like men's football, with Roger playing, both of my Uncle Steve. So it's a nice unit we've had there, all three of us, obviously worked with Jeff. In terms of all the players, like Leggies and everyone like that, they're people we've played with at previous clubs or known through football. And obviously they know what they're going to get with us and we know what we're going to get with them. It's not just you're a player or player and manager. We're generally friends on and off the field. We spoke throughout our careers since we've met each other and really get on. And that helps towards the team spirit and the belief, because when you're fighting for your best friend or you're fighting for your mates and you look round and you can sit anywhere in a changing room, that's kind of what we've, the only reason I've played football for so long, I think that's what keeps me a little bit young at heart. Do you know what I mean? The characters and the people and the friendships, and that's what it's about.
Yeah. And I've got the two of you on a Zoom screen here, and I can probably move, which way round you sit on my screen. But are you a bit like Ant and Dec, that you always stand the same way round normally when you do interviews?
Yeah.
No, personally. I mean, if you speak to our lads, they'll probably have a few choice words about us as a group. And, you know, we've got our superstitions and we've got ways that we do things, you know. But on the whole, you know, it's been a privilege managing with Jamie. I know I played alongside him for a few years at Bracknell, and You know, it was a joy to play alongside him. And we always felt and we always knew that, you know, it would be something that we would look at possibly in the future. It came kind of out the blue, but it was an opportunity that arose, and it was one that we grasped. And I've loved every single minute of it. You know, it's a real privilege to work alongside him and work with the group of lads that we've got. And, you know, they are, like I said, I know we keep saying it, they are such a special group. And, you know, we couldn't be prouder of every single one of them and what they give us.
And obviously with the year or 2 years that we've had in the null and void season, I think you had 17 wins, was it, out of the 22 games in the Hellenic League. It must be so frustrating as a manager when you can see that everything's going so well and that league thing happens. This FA Vars run is probably a great release for you as well, just to see that everything that you've put in place is working well.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think any manager over the last two seasons can say that they've been through this or prepared for it. So it might have been a bit of a leveler for me and Cole starting out. And as we said, that's why we got experienced people around us. But yeah, like all the credit for the games that we've won and how we does it, that all goes down to our players. Like, they give us absolutely everything. They're there for training. And as we said, it's difficult times financially. Like, the club, we're surrounded by big clubs in your Sloughs, your Maidenheads and your Bracknells and stuff like that. And yeah, we're obviously seen as like little old Binfield, but we're probably not, over the last two seasons, probably been a bit of a change. And all of our lads could have quite easily like stepped back up or gone up if they were a bit younger, but they haven't. They truly believe in all of each other and us as a team, and obviously they believe in me and Wibbs, which is lucky. So
going back to Saturday then, looking ahead, obviously US Portsmouth beat Flatwell Heath in the last round. Have you put in some calls to the local lads at Flatwell and trying to find out as much as you can?
I haven't. I know possibly, you know, we know one of them, Harrison Bailey, who, you know, offered to sort of give us a lowdown. But, you know, we saw the stream, their game, and we watched it. We both watched it, and we've both taken, you know, come away with our own opinions of it. And, you know, for me, that's enough. You know, we don't want to focus on them too much. You know, we'd rather focus on what we've got as a group. You know, go there and put our style on them and you know, and not sort of worry too much about them. You know, I wouldn't want to focus on them too much. You know, we haven't today, and we're not about to change now. You know, we'll go there, as I say, we'll respect them. It's going to be a tough game, but we're looking forward to it, and we're very excited. You know, it's a great buzz and a great ride that we're on at the minute, and you know, we're hoping it's going to continue.
We obviously know a few of their lads, and obviously Marcus, their manager, we adore. We both get on with him really well and stuff like that. And I don't think it would have been, I think me and Cole felt it wouldn't have been right to ring him. Obviously, it's obviously a bit of a blow to him, and we was obviously looking to try and get through past Longeaton, which we done. At the end of the game, we obviously was thinking we might have a bit of a local derby and stuff like that against, which is nice, but. Any time you reach a semi-final, it don't matter who you're playing. It's nice just to get there, isn't it?
It should be a nice occasion. You mentioned about that you watched the previous streams. I think this one's going to be available for fans as well. TBTV be live streaming it for them. I guess have you thought ahead to sort of the journey, and is there a standard playlist or something that goes out on the coach? Is it, you know, is it just trying to keep everything as normal as possible for Saturday?
I think so. I think so. You know, it'd be wrong to start change the way we do things. You know, the coach journey down there is full of banter and full of laughs and music blaring, and you know, we'll be looking for more of the same on Saturday. You know, it's not as long journey as last Saturday, which is good. But yeah, you know, we'll prepare exactly the same. We're not superstitious, but you know, you just got to do things right. Not get ahead of yourself. Not change the way you do things, and just go there with the right mindset.
Well,
I'd probably say the stereo's off on the way down there. The amount they talk, honestly, I'd rather have the stereo on. Seriously, ears are burning by the time I get off that coach. It's a joke a minute with that group, isn't it, Wibbs?
Yeah, it really is.
And if you get the result, I'd imagine the coach will be rocking, and the services they'll have to look out on the way back.
Yeah, no comment.
There's been a few beers and a few spillages, and maybe a little bit that me and Wiz have had to cover on the way home when you get off. But an ideal Saturday night isn't cleaning a coach with a towel and making sure it's spotless. But they deserve everything, them lads. They're a real credit, not just like on the pitch, like off the pitch, and how they treat each other and respect each other and all their families and stuff like that. Like, it's really nice to feel part of something like that. I mean, I've had it a few times, been lucky enough to have it a few times at a few different clubs with great groups of players and managers that I still speak to and still like regard as like friends, like close friends, like a football family. That's how I see this group that we've got, a real tight family. But I don't want to clear up their beer on Saturday.
Guys, it's been great to get you on the Non-League Football Show. Best of luck at the weekend, and hopefully we'll speak to you again very, very soon.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks very much, Tim. Thank you. Take care.
And that's it for this week. Thank you to all of our guests and for everybody for listening wherever you may be. Thanks especially to the winners and losers at Non-League Finals Day 2020 back on Bank Holiday Monday. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the week and join in throughout the season on social media at Non-League Show. I'm there at Tim Fuel. Plus, of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Take a look there too for the archive of the Non-League Football Show. The last five seasons on there for you to listen to as well. Stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA